Important stuff. Can't leave that out. Well, let's go for it. Again, let's make sure we have our Bibles out. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel 3. You may have heard the story of the man who he was sentenced to prison, but on his first day in jail, he found an interesting thing would happen. In the evening, all the prisoners were allowed to go out into the courtyard and hang out there together for a while. And while they were all out there in this courtyard, just kind of sitting around, this man noticed that all of a sudden one of the men would say something. He would call out a number. He'd say, number 5. And they'd all laugh. Another guy, a little pause, but another guy would then say, well, 8. Oh, and even more laughter. And this would go on for quite a while. Well, when they got back to the cell, this new guy asked his cellmate, what was that about? Well, a cellmate explained. He said, see, we've all been in here so long, and we've told these same jokes so many times, over and over again, we've got them all memorized. So we went ahead and numbered the jokes. Nobody's telling the whole joke. We know what they are already. So we just give the number, and we all know what it is. We all laugh. And he goes, oh, interesting. So the next night, they're out in the courtyard of the prison again, and sure enough, some guy goes, 6, and they all laugh, and another guy goes, 3, oh, and they laugh some more. Well, the newcomer says, he thinks, I'll try this. So he's sitting there, and there's a quiet, and he goes, number 8, nothing. Nobody laughs, nothing happens. So later on, they all get back to the cell. He says to his cellmate, what happened? Why didn't anybody laugh? And the cellmate said, well, you know it is. Some people can tell a joke, and some can't. I share that to say this. As we come to the story of Samuel here in 1 Samuel 3, that's almost how we can find ourselves reacting. What I mean is this. Texts like this are well known if you've been studying the Bible very long. Perhaps you grew up in Sunday school, children's ministry. And a text like this right away, you see, oh man, I've heard this so many times. We could probably number this thing. You might even say, you know, Pastor, why don't we just do that? We'll just number it. I mean, think of it. There's certain stories in the Bible that are well known. We can maybe say, okay, let's call, number 1 will be the story of Noah and the ark. Number 2, maybe we'll say, well, that'll be David and Goliath. And we could go through naming them. 3 will be Israelites crossing the Red Sea. And let's go ahead and name number 4, the call of Samuel. And you can almost say that, okay, call of Samuel, okay, I've heard it, let's go, we're done. See, there's that danger that we're so familiar with it that we tune out. So this is a warning against the danger of familiarity for a text like this. Because the point of the text and what we're going to look at this morning is this. God wants to speak, but he can find us tuning out, not listening, because we get used to it. So let's let him speak through what we're about to read this morning. Remember the context. By chapter 3 of 1 Samuel here, Samuel now is a young boy. Commentators say probably around 12 at this point. We saw last week that Samuel was dedicated by his mother Hannah to the Lord from his birth, from before. And we know that Samuel's been ministering to the Lord at the temple ever since he was weaned. Now Samuel doesn't know it yet, but God is preparing Samuel for awesome things. This section is about some of that preparation and his call. But it's not just his preparation and call that it's about. What we're about to read directly applies to all of us. So here we are, 1 Samuel 3. Let's jump into verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Eli is the high priest. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant hears. That'll be enough for us to chew on this morning, right there, for there's much in it. God is. He wants to, and he is speaking. Not just in a general sense, but he's speaking to us. He's speaking to you. God has a call for us. Things he wants to say to us and through us. But to not hear that call, to not heed that call, is to miss out. It's to live our days far short of what God would have for us in our days. So this morning, we're going to take a look at this passage and what we might learn for it and from it and apply it to our lives. I've called our time this morning, Speak, for your servant hears. Let's pray. Father, the very point of this text that you've caused to be recorded is to drive home to us that you're speaking and our great need is to hear. And this morning, this time in your word is a part of that. So, Father, we're asking you, help us. Lord, you remove the distractions that so easily plague us. And help us to sit before you now and to hear what you would say. And then to be doers. So, tune us in, so to speak, Lord. Everything comes from you, and you love us greatly. And our great need is to hear. So, use this morning to give us that hunger and to move us forward in this whole process of hearing you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a story to help us think about listening. Back when the telegraph was still the fastest means of communication, a young man went down to apply for a job as a Morse code operator at the telegraph office. He was answering an ad in the newspaper, and he went to the address listed. He went into the office and he found a large, busy office filled with a lot of stuff going on in this office. And in the background, you could even hear the telegraph key clicking, a message coming through. But it was amongst all the different noises going on in this office. Well, there was a sign on the counter that said, please fill out the form and then wait to be asked into the inner office. He sat down. Now, he was the last one to arrive. There were seven other applicants there before him. He filled out his form, but after just a few moments of sitting there, he got up, walked to the inner office, and went on in. Well, all the other applicants were kind of stunned by that. They're saying, certainly, he's made a mistake. This poor young man, he's not going to get the job. He walked right into the boss's office. Well, a few moments later, the boss walked out with the young man, and the boss said to the other applicants, I want to thank all of you for coming today, but I have hired this young man to take the job. It's already filled now. Well, that caused the other applicants to really start to grumble. And finally, one said, wait a minute. He came late, and he even just walked into the office. Just went right on in. You haven't even interviewed us. Why does he get the job? Well, to that, the employer said this, I'm sorry, but the whole time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been typing out the following message in Morse code. It's been saying, if you understand this message, then come right in, the job is yours. He said, none of you heard it or understood it. This young man did. The job is his. We live in a world full of busyness and clatter, just like that office. Yet God is speaking. This morning, are you listening? Are we listening? He is speaking. That's not the issue. The issue is, do we hear Him when He speaks to us? Are we tuned in to God's voice? The challenge this morning, are we listening? How does God speak? Of course, one major way God speaks is the way that you hold in your lap right now, if you're holding your Bible. It is God's Word. God gives His Word so we might know the God of the Word. And so He speaks through the Bible. It takes listening to it, reading it, studying it, soaking in it, obeying it. The second way, of course, is He speaks through the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Indeed, it's one of the Holy Spirit's main job descriptions. Jesus said in John 16, starting at verse 13, He said, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you." The Holy Spirit is speaking. He's speaking to all. And if you don't believe, He's speaking to you, receive. Come to Jesus and be saved. Have eternal life. But once we do that, He moves inside. He takes up residence, the Holy Spirit, in every believer to do just what Jesus said, to speak to us and guide us. So the Holy Spirit is an important means that He used to speak to us. God can speak through other people. Now, we must be careful. That a lot of people claim to speak for God. So you want to be wise about who you listen to. But there is a place for godly counsel. People will have, indeed, wisdom that God has given them. But it always has to line up with His Word and all, of course. But it is a part of body ministry. So often God will give a word to someone to give to someone else. So we're saying God has and does speak all the time. But our time this morning really isn't about that. I don't want to spend our time just talking more about that, how God speaks. Just be assured that He does. The point of the text and what we're about this morning is, are we listening? Are we listening with the intent of doing? That's going to be key. Do we go through our days really listening for what God would say to us in our circumstances? We need it, but does He find us listening? Does God hear us say, "Speak, for your servant hears"? In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, we are told of this first encounter that Samuel has with the Lord. When it says later on in verse 7, he did not know the Lord yet. He knew of the Lord, but he never had this kind of thing happen. He'd never heard from the Lord. He will from now on in a lot of neat ways. But this first encounter in this way is the idea. But look at verse 1 here. "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." Remember, we're getting now down to the time of the judges. That's about to wrap up. And the time of the judges was a time when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. They didn't seek God. They didn't listen to God. They didn't seek to hear Him. They did what they thought was right. And so that's the setting for this. There was no revelation. That's what it means. There's no prophecy taking place. And the reason there was no revelation is probably because no one was listening to Him. But that's about to change through this young boy, Samuel. I don't know about you, but I love this account of how the Lord calls Samuel. It's so straightforward. It shows us how... See, there's no lightning here. There's no big fanfare. There's no big riding across the clouds, Samuel. It's just God calling Samuel. How many times? In our text, 4 times. What does that tell us? God's persistent. We have a persistent God. He'll keep trying to get through. He keeps trying to speak to us. Now, at first, Samuel thinks it's Eli, so he runs in for 3 times. Finally, Eli figures it out. Hey, that's God. Pay attention. But notice, God's persistent here. But notice, so is Samuel. Every time he hears it, up he pops. At first, he does think it's Eli. He goes in there. But the point is, there's persistence on both sides of this equation. A God who wants to speak and is, looking for hearts that are hungry to hear. And he finds one in little Samuel. I wonder how often God is speaking to us, but we don't listen. Or we pass it off as something else. And no, maybe not an audible voice. Typically, it's not my experience to hear God in audible voice. I know Pastor Chuck Smith has said he never heard God in audible voice. God can speak audibly, don't get me wrong. That's probably what's happening here, but in general, that's not the idea. But the point is, the Holy Spirit speaks, tells us things, tells us what to do, what not to do, where to go, what not, where not to go, etc. But we don't listen. We're too about our day. We're too about our things. Or we let distractions keep us from really hearing. We hear it, but we write it off as, well, that can't be from God. And we miss out. And yet sometimes later on we see, yeah, God was trying to get my attention. He did have an answer for me. I just wasn't listening. So, what do we learn here just from this passage about God's call to Samuel that might help us hear God better? God is speaking. He's not the weak link in this thing. We are. So what can we learn here about how to hear God better? Well, first of all, from the text we see that Samuel had an attentive ear. He was, in essence, tuned in. He was available to hear from God. Now think about that. We sit here right now, and we know right now there's a whole lot going on in this room. There are stage coaches being chased. There are murder mysteries being solved. What are you talking about, Pastor? You know. There's television waves going all through here. There's radio waves. There's songs going on right now. All those things. Why don't we hear them? We can sit quiet all day. We'll not hear them in and of ourselves. Why? We don't have the apparatus. We're not dialed in. We're not tuned into those stations. We don't see John Wayne rescuing the lady or something right now. We don't even know what might be going on. Because we don't have that means to dial that in. But it's going on. In the same way, God is speaking all the time. But we don't listen. We don't tune in. And it's not some woo-woo, we do it. It's just the ways that we're going to be looking at here. But please know He is. But first of all, notice Samuel was available to hear. He was attentive to hear. Now, if I do turn on the radio and turn the dial to the right station, all of a sudden I do hear that song or whatever. We hear what's being said. So again, it's not the issue of is God speaking. He is. The issue is whether or not we're really listening. We're really tuning in to Him. We clutter up. We put all the static on the line, so to speak, in our lives. No wonder why we don't hear Him. But coupled with this idea of an attentive ear, which is what we need to have, we need to be hungry, first of all, desirous to hear from Him, available to hear from Him. But notice also what they found in Samuel, what the Lord found in Samuel was his response. And what kind of response was it? It was immediate. There was an immediate response. Samuel didn't dismiss it. God is speaking to Samuel here. When it says the light of the tabernacle was about to go out, this means it's night, it's almost morning. And it tells us indeed that Samuel was lying down. That means he was still in bed there. So it's the middle of the night, basically, or morning, early morning or whatever. But the idea is it's not at a convenient time, so to speak. But you find Samuel still is responsive. Hey, someone's calling. It's my. I get up. I go. I respond. I don't. We don't ignore it. See, to ignore it is to miss out. To say, Lord, I'm really tired. Can you speak to me like at 9 in the morning? No. It's, wow. See, God doesn't wear one of these, and He never sleeps. And when He wants to speak, let Him speak whenever it is. He might rouse you out at night. You ever have one of those times? It's okay. Feel like the Lord's telling you, wake up, can't sleep. All of a sudden you say, Lord, there's something. Yes, pray for so-and-so. Then do it. But whatever. Point is, be responsive. Be eager to hear. And don't try to lock Him into a certain time. Thirdly, we see here another important aspect, and that is not only was he attentive, and not only was he responsive, but he had an obedient will, about this whole thing. Now, first of all, notice it on the horizontal level here. He thinks it's Eli, so he did what he thought he was supposed to do. And when Eli finally tells him, he does what Eli tells him to do. Have you ever noticed that good leaders make, first of all, they're good followers? And they understand authority. And God's training up Samuel to be a prophet. And one of the first things we see about him is he's trained here at learning to be a good servant. Leaders are always servants first, and they understand that idea. The point is, Samuel had settled the servant issue on the horizontal level. But not only that, notice the fourth point. He had settled the issue on the vertical level. The text goes on, and we won't have time right now to go through all of it, but the text goes on to show that Samuel, after hearing what God has to say, is obedient to deliver the message. He did what God told him to do. Now we arrive at what I believe is a key point in all of this. If we're really going to hear from God, we've got to settle this important issue. God doesn't share with us so we can decide if it's worthy of being obeyed. It's not a smorgasbord for us to pick and choose. There has to be settled first something about us and our attitude about what he's going to say. If we want God to speak to us, then we need to settle the issue to obey whatever it is he tells us. If you don't obey, if we're not taking the time, we're not going to hear. If we're not tuned in, we're not going to hear. But if also, if we're in that state of we're not going to obey it, don't be surprised if you don't hear, because there's a bigger issue going on here of who he is in our lives. If I'm really hungry and I really want to know and I really want to hear, then I've got to settle the issue. And Lord, whatever it is, so be it. Here we go. See, it's not speak, Lord, and then I'll decide if it's something that I want to obey. There's no qualifications in this. It's not speak what I want to hear. Not I will do this, but not that. Not a qualified serving. That's being talked about here. You know, I remember an occasion in my own life when God had to kind of settle this for me. Long time ago, long before I was a pastor, but I was getting to that place in, as a believer that, Lord, I really want your will to be done totally in my life. I want to have a surrendered life. I want to be available, Lord, whatever it is. And so I would wrestle this out with the Lord, and I said, Lord, I really want to hear from you, and it wasn't audible, but I sensed the Lord, and indeed, he did wind up giving me a couple of things. But what I came to understand was this. This whole thing was a vehicle that he wanted to use to settle some things for me. Dale, if we're going to go on to other things, we got to settle something here. That when I speak, you will do it. You won't argue with me. You're not going to debate it. Not going to tell me how you got a better idea. That's how you're going to do it. And I remember just wrestling, saying, Lord, the best that I can, I settle the issue. Whatever you say. And boom, he put two things in my heart. I remember it real well. It's a long time ago. Two things he put right away. Now, there were things, of course, my flesh went, ow. But I knew, okay, let's go. And I went for it. Now, one went pretty well. The other, at least at the time, didn't go that well. But that wasn't the issue. Yes, it was important I did that towards those circumstances. But the core issue is, will you do what I say? Because if you're not, then we're not. Don't tell me that you're my, and then don't do it. So you have to settle that issue. Settle the obedience issue ahead of time that you might hear. See, God is going to use Samuel in an awesome way. But God must settle this hearing and serving thing first. Samuel, we got awesome things ahead, but we got to settle something here. This hearing and doing and serving thing. And it gets settled. It's established, we see. So those are some points to hopefully help us hear God and hear him better. But I also want us to notice a couple other things. What was Samuel doing when the Lord spoke to him? Well, just very quickly, back in chapter 2, verse 11, we read this. Then Elkanah, that's Samuel's dad, went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Verse 18 of chapter 2. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child wearing a linen ephod. And then, of course, the first verse of chapter 3, we just read it this morning. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Why do I point these out? This means that God spoke to him and he heard God in the midst of doing his everyday duties. For you see, that's what he had been committed. His everyday duty was to simply serve there in the temple, to serve the high priest. He would open the doors and probably just take care of things, sweep up, whatever was involved. That's what he was called to do. And it's in the midst of his everyday duties that God spoke to him. You don't need to go on the mountain and stay there for 5 years and become a monk or something to hear God speak. He wants to speak to you right in your job, your home, your school, your circumstances. Indeed, those are awesome places to hear him. But that's important in all this. But what's crucial is, are we even listening in our everyday things? From the minute our feet hit the floor, too often, we're about us. I got to do this today. Got to call so-and-so. Better get that done. And off we go. And we're about things. We might be somewhat productive, but by the end of the day, we've missed out on the higher calling of what God wanted to do. What he wanted to say to us and through us about that thing or whatever it was. We missed out because we didn't listen. He was available in his duties. What you do, be it on the construction site, be it as a teacher, whatever you do, husband, wife, all those callings, those are honorable and those are awesome. It's what God has you doing. But he wants to work in them. He wants to travel with you in them. He loves you. He wants to talk to you in that and help you grow in him or be used by him. The guy that led me to the Lord planted that idea in me, that seed in me from the beginning. From the very beginning, he taught me, go through your duties throughout the day, but look for God in them. See how God might want to use you in them. Let God speak to you in them. Oh, it changes your day. It's awesome that way. You end the day much more like Jesus and having come closer to what he has for us. Don't miss out on that. So that's what he did. And it's going to take being very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, getting the static off the line, etc. And it takes settling the issue. We're going to be hearers, but not just hearers only, but doers when he speaks. Notice something else here that we notice about Samuel. This occurs in Samuel's life while Samuel was serving in very apostate times. And he lived in a very troubled personal environment, if you will. He is serving Eli while Eli's sons are the priests. Hophni and Phinehas are his sons. Now, we won't read about them, but you can. Go back and read chapter 2 if you want, and you'll see. They are evil. They don't know the Lord flat out, and they are evil. And Samuel lives right there. It's what he sees. So here you have a culture, the time of the judges is ending, but a culture that doesn't listen to God, going contrary to God, doing what they think is right in their own eyes. Anybody live in a culture like that? Anyway, and he has people around him that don't care about God, aren't listening to God. See, it knocks the pins out from maybe all the legs out from our excuses. Well, I'd hear better, but this culture is so bad, and I've got so-and-so in my family. No, it doesn't work. It's in that very environment that Samuel hears. What am I saying? Samuel doesn't let other people's spiritual condition keep him from hearing God. So don't let the culture keep you from hearing God. Don't let the fact that others aren't listening keep you from hearing God. Don't let the fact that there's people maybe in your own family, extended family, friends who are adverse to it and they rub you wrong and everything. Don't let them keep you from hearing God. Samuel heard God in the midst of some very tough circumstances. And God wants to use us in those, doesn't he? And he wants to use us in these dark days, this dark culture. He's speaking. Does he find us listening? Does he find us available? And notice lastly this. It tells us he was a young boy. The reason I point that out is simply this. All of us, from youngest to oldest, are candidates for God to speak to and through. If you're still breathing, he's speaking to you. And so for the children, nurture them in that idea. Ask them, well, what do you think God would have you do? Well, what's the Bible say about that? Help them learn to listen to God and see God in their circumstances, even from when they're little. But also be a model of it. Be an example of it to them as we do the same in our circumstances. They can watch it. But all the way up to every age, all of us are candidates to hear God speak if we'll just slow down. People often say, well, I wish I could hear God speak. Well, all that tells me is, well, I know he is. So, again, we're the weak link in this, but we don't have to be. See, here's something important to notice. Does it tell us that Samuel, he went to seminary, and after getting 5 degrees, he was able to hear God? No. At this point, he's a little kid serving in the temple there, just going about his duties. No special degrees, education required here. That's not what God's looking for. No high rank in society. Eli's the high priest, but Samuel's not at this point. He's not. He's just a kid. So no high rank. Education's not needed. Degrees aren't needed. High ranking. What's needed? An attentive ear. Just taking the time to listen and then to obey. His sheep hear his voice. Nurture hearing God's voice. Well, verses 11 through 18 tell how indeed God gives Samuel a message for Eli. The message actually that God gives Samuel to give to Eli is the fact that Eli and Eli's sons are going to be judged. God's going to judge Eli and his sons for what they've done and failed to do and all. Having said that, go to verse 19 now. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And let none of his words fall to the ground. That's a Bible way of saying they all came true. They all came to pass. That God's going to now make Samuel a prophet, and it will be confirmed that Samuel is indeed a prophet of God because all of the prophecies will come to pass. None of them will fall to the ground. Verse 20, and all Israel, from Dan, that's way up in the north, to Beersheba, all the way in the south, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. What's another way of saying that? God found someone who was available. God found someone who was listening. See, Samuel is now recognized as a prophet. And that's because someone was now listening. Samuel had settled the issue and God had raised up his man. Just as God wants to work now in every man and woman that's God's. He wants to speak to us and work through us. Please know that. God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to you. And I know we come and I feel like, well, you know, we expect this fireworks in the sky. Get your heart calm before him. Tuned into him. Take the word, let the Holy Spirit minister, and he will begin to hear. He's not trying to trick us. He wants us to hear him. So, may the Lord find all of us having the heart attitude of verse 10. Let's look at it again. The last part, what Samuel say? Speak, for your servant hears. That needs to be, and may it indeed be, the heart attitude of every one of us, every believer. May it be our attitude continually. I'm going to invite the worship team up to wrap us up. As they do, I got a few concluding comments here and an invitation or two. You can't get to heaven without receiving what Jesus did on the cross for you. It has nothing to do with being good enough. It's nothing like that. It's receiving the payment for our sins. We've all sinned and we need that payment. And so if you haven't received Christ, God is speaking to you. And what's he saying? He's saying, we got to do some business first. He's saying, turn to me, receive me, follow me and live. If you've never done that, go to the prayer room as you wrap it up and get the issue settled. For those of us who have received, he's speaking. He's speaking all the time in all kinds of ways. What an awesome thing that really is. I pray that our time this morning will have stirred up or just increased, maybe for some, just given even, a hunger in all of us to listen, to hear God in all that we do. During this time now, we're going to spend some time responding. We're going to worship the Lord for a while. If during this time, if it would be meaningful to you, please feel free to come up front. No one's going to bother you. But maybe you need to come up front and say, Lord, forgive me. I haven't been tuned in very good. I've let too much static get on the line. I've been spending my days listening to me and everybody else but you. And Lord, I want to commit to hearing you again. Come up front and just spend some time with the Lord and make that commitment. Maybe you want to come up front and just thank him that he does speak. Maybe there's something specific you're seeking him on and you want to spend some time just saying, Lord, would you lead me in this? Whatever it is, the altar time is available right now as we get ready to worship. I encourage you to use it accordingly. Again, may the Lord stir in all of us a continual hunger to hear him in every circumstance. May we truly say, speak, for your servant hears. Father, we're going to spend some time before you, Lord, responding, for you're worthy to be praised. And in particular, Lord, we want to thank you that you speak. You love us so much. You want us to discover and grow in that plan you have for us every day. Lord, help us in this time. For some, there needs to be a turning to you. For others, maybe a tuning in better. For others, just a thankfulness or an issue needs to be set before you. Whatever it is, Lord, help us in this time to do just that. And particularly, Lord, help us now to worship and praise you for the love you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All because of you, Lord. We can sing those words. We can declare those words. We can rest in the truth of those words because you did it all. Truly, Lord, no better place to be, no place we want to be than right here in your hand. Thank you. What a refuge you are for us. The rock of our salvation. Truly, the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, we will spend eternity thanking you and praising you and declaring it. And so, indeed, we do the same right now. Thank you. Lord, thank you that you speak. Thank you that it doesn't have to be a big mystery. But as we head out, we can know you're with us. You indwell every believer. We have your word, the Holy Spirit. You're speaking. Lord, help us. Help us have an ever-increasing hunger, an ever-increasing availability, that you might find in us those who truly, truly are saying and living out those words, speak, for your servant hears. And so we give you praise now, for you're worthy, and we look forward to what you're going to be doing. We thank you for this time now. Thank you. You're so good to us. All this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.